Good morning. It's Friday, April 19th, and this is the Daily Chirp Podcast. We're bringing you a closer look at one of our top stories, along with other important things going on in our community. Today, a new initiative named Operation Plaza Strike targets the leaders of drug trafficking organizations in the notorious Plaza Nogales, a territory currently under the control of a single cartel. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsors at Lawley Automotive.
Hi everyone, I'm Sean Lawley from the Lawley Automotive Group, and we've stocked up on inventory at all of our dealerships. If you've been thinking about a new car, we've got the deal for you on a new Buick, GMC, Chevrolet, Ford, Kia, Hyundai, Honda, Nissan, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. You don't have to go to Tucson or Phoenix to buy a new vehicle. We're your hometown dealer since 1995. We'll beat the big city dealers in price, and our customer service is small town dealer friendly. Come into any one of the Lawley dealerships today or shop lawleycars.com and see why nobody beats a Lawley deal. Nobody.
Now some Arizona trivia. Did you know that James Atkins of Jimmy Eat World fame is from Arizona? He is the lead guitarist, vocalist, and principal songwriter for the rock band. Raised in Mesa, Atkins began playing guitar at a very young age, with early influences including Def Leppard and Motley Crue. His musical style evolved significantly after discovering bands like Fugazi and Drive Like Yehu. The band has released 10 studio albums and has had a number of popular hits, including number one chart toppers The Middle and Pain. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Benson Hospital. Benson Hospital now has 3 locations for primary care services. Let their compassionate providers care for your entire family. Your health starts here. Call to schedule an appointment today at 520-720-6551. Now our feature story. A new initiative named Operation Plaza Strike targets the leaders of drug trafficking organizations in the notorious Plaza Nogales, a territory currently under the control of a single cartel. The strategy brings together the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, the Drug Enforcement Administration, and Homeland Security Investigations. Troy Miller, a senior official with CBP, outlined the operation's threefold approach: gather intelligence, disrupt drug trafficking operations, and enforce legal consequences against those responsible for smuggling narcotics into the U.S. Operation Plaza Strike is not just a battle against narcotics, but also against the illegal smuggling of weapons from the United States into Mexico. This initiative comes on the heels of a recent U.S. court decision allowing the Mexican government to sue Arizona gun dealers for their alleged role in trafficking military-style weapons to cartels. By addressing both the supply of drugs and the flow of weapons, U.S. officials aim to dismantle the infrastructure that supports cartel operations. A major challenge, acknowledged by Nogales Port Director Michael Humphreys, is the ongoing demand for narcotics in the United States. He emphasized that while efforts to curb the supply of drugs like fentanyl are crucial, addressing domestic demand is equally important for long-term impact. Additionally, James Nunnally, the DEA Deputy Chief of Operations, highlighted the global nature of this battle, noting past actions against chemical companies in China involved in supplying precursors for synthetic opioids like fentanyl. These international connections underscore the complex web that U.S. agencies must navigate to curb drug trafficking effectively. Operation Plaza Strike is an ambitious step forward in the fight against drug cartels and their extensive criminal networks. With its comprehensive strategy and international cooperation, the operation aims to mitigate not just drug trafficking, but also the violence and human suffering associated with it. As this operation unfolds, its success will likely hinge on the continued collaboration between U.S. and Mexican authorities and a broader, more holistic approach to drug demand reduction within the United States. Thanks for listening. Before we continue, a quick message from our sponsors, Prestige Family Living.
Every second of every day, an older adult in the U.S. suffers a fall. It's one of the most pressing health concerns facing older adults. And it's why, here at Prestige Assisted Living at Sierra Vista, we're currently offering a free online fall risk assessment. In just 10 minutes, you can learn about your risk factors and ways to stay safe. The free assessment is available at fallriskassessment.com. Again, that's fallriskassessment.com.
Next, these days, some college athletes are cashing in and making millions of dollars thanks to NIL. Now, the march continues as a former ASU swimmer and All-American sues the NCAA for media rights revenue. Ethan Tuttle of Cronkite News has the story.
Welcome back. These days, some college athletes are cashing in and making millions of dollars thanks to NIL. But it wasn't that long ago when the Supreme Court delivered a 9-0 ruling on Alston v. NCAA, a decision that granted NIL rights to every college athlete a part of the NCAA. Now, as Ethan Tuttle reports, a former ASU swimmer and All-American sues the NCAA for media rights revenue.
College sports have been insanely popular and growing rapidly since the NCAA took over television broadcasts of its sporting events in the 1950s. Now the NCAA puts on one of, if not the most successful sporting events in the world, March Madness. In fiscal year 2023, the NCAA netted $873 million on the media rights deal for the event, a staggering number that continues to rise. But college athletes currently see $0 of that money. And surprisingly, it's one former college swimmer that is standing up to challenge the NCAA for a share of TV media revenue to be dispersed to college athletes from the past, present, and future. This is Grant House, the lead plaintiff in House v. NCAA, an antitrust lawsuit that seeks the right to grant college athletes a chunk of TV broadcast revenue from the NCAA. With multiple antitrust cases already stacked against the NCAA, some involving current and former college athletes, people are starting to take notice.
The NCAA's got a freight train coming down the tracks right at it. And it's called the House case, and it's being litigated by a lawyer named Jeffrey Kessler.
House versus the NCAA. This is a case that could totally upend college football as you know it.
I was first approached actually during 2020, the summer COVID, by a teammate's mother. Kind of just wanted my background on my experience as an Olympic sport athlete. Turned into being the plaintiff and the representative, lead plaintiff of the case.
House, a student athletic advisory council member at the time, was initially met with criticism for speaking out against the NCAA.
There was a lot of pushback initially of like, why are you doing this? Like, you're wrong. Like, this is going to ruin college sports. And I just thought that was such a limited mindset. No one was asking like, why is this happening? How can we actually move forward? What is going to be the future of sports?
But soon things took a turn, thanks to numerous voices from prominent programs across the country coming to the forefront in support of House.
These big, powerful individuals, athletic directors, head coaches of Power Five, dominant Big Ten schools speaking out in favor of it, really made a huge shift towards how everyone looked at it.
The case was granted class action status back on November 3rd of 2023 by a Northern California District Court judge, a development that could put the NCAA on the hook for hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars.
But they're also looking for back down like broadcast revenue, which would be really tricky. So you're talking about, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars potentially that the organization would get stuck with.
But that's not even the worst part of it for the NCAA, because federal antitrust cases come with a significant cost. And with thousands of potential class action clients in play, it could go from bad to worse in a hurry.
An entity that's violated the Sherman Act under antitrust law, you can be subject to treble damages, which means any damages that you find off the case, which are usually pretty large in antitrust cases, they get tripled.
Hernandez thinks that the NCAA will settle in all likelihood. If not, it could cause a number of problems for Division II and III schools that rely on money from the NCAA to keep their athletic programs afloat, including Division I Olympic sports.
Now, we need to force them to keep sports at the university through legislation and collective bargaining.
Former collegiate cross-country runner and SAC president Andrew Cooper has experience fighting for the rights of college athletes. In 2020, he was a key figure in a group that successfully persuaded the NCAA to grant eligibility relief to athletes that had their season cut short due to the pandemic. Now he's lobbying for TV revenue to be dispersed to college athletes, similar to how it is at the professional level.
Athletes should get their fair share. Let's just say it's half, because that is the model in professional sports. But then your sport should get the percentage that your sport delivers.
With a vastly smaller portion of viewership going to Olympic sports, Cooper says they can still be subsidized through university endowments, Olympic funding, and state funding as well. Cooper also believes the downfall of the NCAA is slowly nearing, with conference realignment happening more frequently, causing increased chaos in college athletics.
I think eventually the NCAA, the Power Five, now the Power Four, soon to be the Power Two, they will realize they will make a lot more money if they consolidate and merge. And it seems that the Power Two is aware of that and is making an effort to break away from the NCAA.
So the NCAA needs to figure out an answer soon, or else we're going to have all these separate orientations and entities operating on their own.
House is hopeful his case will open the door for future college athletes.
You know, some of it's just allowing some student athletes to have some pride in what they're doing, what they are, and really opening that room of possibility and that door of possibilities and opportunity for them to step through and to capture if they want to.
We reached out to the NCAA for an interview regarding the House case, but they declined to comment. House versus NCAA is expected to go to court in January 2025. In Tempe, Ethan Tuttle, Cronkite News.
In the meantime, Grant House plans to compete at the Olympic trials to earn a spot in the 2024 Summer Olympic Games in Paris.
Thanks for listening. Before we continue, a quick message from our sponsors, Ace Hardware.
Hi, this is Les from Sierra Vista Ace. This is a great time to paint. Ace stocks Clark & Kensington, Valspar, Dunn Edwards, and our own Ace Royal Paint in interior and exterior finishes. We can computer match other brands and colors too. All the colors you can imagine, even one named Sierra Vista. Decide on the wall or room to paint, bring in a color idea, and let Ace mix your paint. Treat yourself to a new brush and roller too. Save gas, save time, shop Ace first. Sierra Vista Ace since 1981 on the corner of Fry and Highway 92.
Next, an upcoming event that you should know about. This Saturday, starting at noon, head over to the First Bank Yuma Building in Nogales for the 2024 Mingus Jazz Festival. The musical lineup will be a combination of local high school bands, professional jazz bands, and Mr. T's alumni Dixieland Band. The event is free. For more information, visit mingusproject.com. Finally, today we're remembering the life of Rose Edwards. Rose was born on the Hart family farm in Athens, Wisconsin, and was the youngest of 11 siblings. She attended Holy Cross High School in Wisconsin and then Mundelein College in Illinois, where she graduated with a degree in mathematics. She worked at Harris Bank in downtown Chicago, retiring after 35 years as vice president of trusts. Rose married Jerry soon after retiring, and together they traveled extensively. New Zealand and Europe's rivers were favorite destinations. Eventually, they made Arizona their permanent home and became tour guides to family and friends traveling to see them. Among friends, she was known as a terrific card player and event organizer for golf outings. Family knew her as a generous and loving aunt and step-grandmother. She was a member of Our Lady of the Valley Parish and lived her faith. Rose is survived by her husband, brother, and also leaves many nieces and nephews who remember her fondly. Thank you for taking the time today to remember and celebrate Rose's life. Thanks for tuning in to the Herald Review podcast today. And remember, the Herald Review is here for you with local news you can trust. Subscribe today for unlimited access to all of our content for just $14 per month. This is less than the cost of 1 hour of one reporter's work on a single story. Also, want to stay up to date on what's going on? Join Neighbor, your trusted neighborhood community. Neighbor is a free online forum you can trust to connect with your community, focus on facts, and make a difference. Join the conversation. Visit nabur.myheraldreview.com.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, especially in Cochise County. Become part of the hyperlocal conversation on Cochise County's exclusive social media platform, Neighbor. That's N-A-B-U-R. Your neighbors are striking up meaningful conversations, sharing exquisite Cochise County photos, and respecting each other's views without any other social media noise. No unwanted advertising and only respectful conversations on hot community topics. That's right. Our journalism project manager can set the record straight and help answer any pressing questions about the happenings in our community. Join the conversation at myheraldreview.com/NABUR.